and
you gotta do a boil. You shoving all your sausage in your meatballs.
Huh? Have a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Mashed potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Hope you've had a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We have a full house today and some of the guests are going to be a little unpredictable. We have two puppies, a beautiful sleeping little girl named Lilia, and Lucas, who will be celebrating his 12th birthday tomorrow and may or may not be talking to us. But our guests are Tom Boyd and Jeff Edelheit of the Kiefery in Sebastopol. And it's really interesting. I think Americans, certainly Northern Californians, have sort of embraced the idea of kefir, but they think about it as almost a liquid yogurt. So tonight we're going to explore the non-dairy kefirs of the world and what that means to begin with enlivened water. And in fact, what does enlivened water even mean? So the Kiefery opened just a few months ago, right?
Next month.
It's been a year? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
That's right.
I remember walking in when you'd been open about a week and a half.
It feels like that.
Wow. And you're there where... I'm actually sad the place that was there is gone. I wish you sold hot dogs, too. It was the only place to get a good hot dog in town.
That was the juice place, right?
I just went there. Lucas and I would go there now and then for a good hot dog, because sometimes that's just what you need.
Yeah. Well, we have many people coming in that thinking they're going to get a juice.
Oh, really?
What's this? Yeah. It's very surprising for them.
So let's talk, what is the type of kefir that you make?
Do you want to do it all?
I'll
start that one.
It's the scientist part.
So what we tell people is there's two types of kefir. They both originate from the same source, which is the high mountain spring environment. So this is a culture that people find at certain springs, and they actually...
Oh, really? So it's a culture from a specific geographic...
Exactly.
Okay.
And that culture was then either taken by the people who found it and put mixed with milk, a.k.a. the milk kefir, or mixed with plants and plant sugars, a.k.a. the water kefir. So there's one culture, and then it broke off into two different lineages.
Oh.
One, because we've all heard of dairy because we're so dairy-centric in America, especially here in Sonoma County. But the non-dairy version has been there just as long as the dairy version, and it's been used by just as many people.
Oh.
It's just that our, particularly in America, we've...
Right.
We're just getting cultured again in America. Recultured.
So talk about the culture and how... What's the mechanism by which it occurs naturally?
Well, I can give some anecdotal and then some science.
Okay.
My own research is that before the modern religions that we know today, people thought of springs as the sacred temple.
Is the source.
The sacred temple where they would go and do ceremonies. And, of course, the old shepherds would bring their flocks up to the springs because that was the best water. And everybody knew that high mountain spring water was the stuff. So they'd bring their animals up, and there'd be a little ceremony, a little shrine at almost all of these springs. They'd go up, and they would bring their animals. They'd drink the spring water. They'd lactate all over the spring. They'd throw their food into the spring. They'd give prayers and what have you not. And then they would come back next time they brought their goats up, and there'd be little crystals growing around the edge of the spring that fed on the food and the lactose that they had put into the spring last season. And they would collect those up and put them in their pouch. And on the way home, they would put milk in it. and it would slosh around, and then that's the first milk kefir. Wow. Of course, we all heard the stories of the Caucasus kings, and after it's been used for a long time, the stories of the kingly folk who killed the kefir in the gold lined coffins, much like the ark and so forth. So it was created pound for pound for gold back in the day because it was so important for our ancient ancestors and their survival. Every army marched with kefir.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every religious group used kefir to travel across the world.
Now, I would assume that at least in part that would be because it preserves the milk. Milk will go off fairly quickly, but if you culture it...
Preservation is one part.
Uh-huh.
Preservation is one piece. Another piece is bioavailability, being able to take the things that are in the food and make them available for you to actually digest them.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, people traveling could throw things that you might not normally be able to digest into the pot and ferment them, like rocks and leaves and plants. Even reports now that you can put poisonous plants in and ferment the poison out.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of lore. Almost all religions speak about kefir and its ability to keep people healthy.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we believe it was through the last ice age, probably one of the most important technologies for keeping our ancestors alive was the ability to preserve and make the foods that were available actually
accessible.
Digestible.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
And so... Did this process of natural, and one of the things that it does, I assume, is it provides a natural carbonation. Is that right, or am I a little off on that?
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, fizzy drinks.
Yeah.
The origins of fizzy drinks are in these kinds of fermentations.
Mm-hmm.
What we think of as soda pop today, back in the 1700s, was kefir and a variety of other fermentations.
Mm-hmm.
Natural fermentations that would create their own sparkling, because when they eat the sugar, they release the carbon dioxide instead of it being injected like most people think of today as this, you know, carbonation.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually natural carbon dioxide released in the processing of the sugars and the minerals.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think what here in what is in part known as wine country, we naturally think of fermentation as a process that produces alcohol.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump ahead because I really want to know how you got to this process, but I just realized how does your fermentation not result in alcohol? Because there's natural sugar involved.
Well, the real answer is that all fermentation creates a small amount of alcohol.
Okay.
Some fermentations are focused and driven towards the production of ethanol, alcohol.
Uh-huh.
Our particular strains that we use of microorganisms and how we do our brewing allows us to have almost no alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Under the legal limit, enough to where you can say there's none in there.
Okay, so it's in part a result of the actual specific culture that you use.
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah, and our drinks have less alcohol than a fruit juice you buy off the shelf at the store.
Uh-huh.
That's how little they have in them.
Okay.
And so that's a big piece for us is non-alcoholic. Because we're, you know, I'm hoping somebody can disprove this, but we've found that we're the only not purely 100% non-alcoholic microbrewery in America. We haven't found another one that's purely non-alcoholic.
Interesting.
So everything we do is non-alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
I mean, at Sonoma County, we have enough alcohol here, I'd say.
Yeah, we got it
tied down.
No problem trying to find it.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, was there a point at which these naturally fermented non-alcoholic beverages sort of disappeared? Because we're certainly seeing them, I mean... didn't have these when I was growing up. So was there a period of disappearance, and was that because of the soda pop manufacturers, or was there something else historically that happened?
Wow. Yes, the soda pop people definitely changed the industry.
Coke, Pepsi,
Dr. Pepper, Mr. Pibb, all the greats had their starts in naturally produced products.
Oh, really?
But over time, transform that when our entire culture shifted towards a centralized production modality for everyone.
Oh, so we're
and everybody started doing centralized production, and to do that, you have to start faking it and using preservatives and all the things that we now the scourge of the soda industry.
So
we tried to be the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. But were those things originally naturally fermented?
Some of them were.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting.
Some of the original root beers definitely were.
And that's the best.
Some of the original colas were. Absolutely. I think Mr. Pibb and Dr. Pepper were in the original.
Oh, okay. We're big fans of root. I don't drink I don't drink soda pops. Even as a kid, I wasn't much into them. But God bless root beer.
Yes.
I drink it maybe two or three times a year.
They're nice.
But I love root beer.
Yeah. I grew up making root beer in Florida and Tennessee.
Making it?
Digging up the sassafras roots. And
really?
Yeah. So I remember that when, as a childhood, and the effect it had on me. So one of the things we really wanted to do for the kids is, because we're non-alcoholic, so anyone can come in. We'll have kids 2 years old coming in, having their first sip of real root beer. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's so special for us to get to see that and experience kids look in their face when they taste the real thing for the first time. It's exciting.
So one of the things is we don't know about extractions anymore. So all the old beverages were about extraction.
And would you define that for people?
Well, extraction is basically when you extract the properties of the herbs into the beverage. Mm-hmm. Modernization is you add all the flavorings, and there's no extraction anymore. You add the extract. Yeah. So everything was all about extraction and natural extraction. Like we talk about sun teas, well, wine was actually made underground in which terracotta, porcelain vats.
Yeah, we're seeing
wine pits,
and we're definitely seeing a resurgence of some of those old styles of brewing here locally.
Yeah,
people are brewing now for maybe lower alcohols for more,
more flavors.
I'm talking wine again now, but softer flavors.
Yeah,
yeah. And of course, I'm going to do a shameless plug for ourselves for people. We do some fantastic raw champagne seasonally. So check on our Facebook page.
Really? Raw champagne?
Amazing.
Yeah, from the Pinot Noir grapes, biodynamic. We do some fabulous. There's some of the ancient traditions of winemaking where that you would make wine for sale, but you'd also make it for fresh consumption.
So
we're making that available again, freshly produced grape juice that's been fermented, not alcoholically fermented. Yeah. And so that's something we're really excited about also releasing, because Wine Country has got, we have the best grapes here.
We definitely have good grapes.
And we hand pick them and clean them.
Where do you get them? Can you say?
It's a Bybee Ranch. It's a biodynamic Pinot.
Which
Bybee.
Bybee, okay.
Yeah. And they're friends of ours, and just, it is such
fabulous.
A thrill. Soup to nuts on processing. And it's I don't know how to explain it. When you drink the grape juice that you pick and you juice fresh, it's enlivened. There's nothing like it you've ever had.
Now, that word enlivened is on your labels, and it comes up a lot in discussion of what you do. So could you define that? What exactly is enlivened water?
Tom and I have worked a long time together, and we worked starting with water in a company called Restorative. And what we learned, there's nothing in nature that is sustainable. It's always regenerating itself. It's always restoring itself. Mm-hmm. And so the human body, we're mainly bacteria. We're alive. Mm-hmm. We're enlivened. All of nature is enlivened. So everything we do is about enlivening the process in order to be compatible to the body. So what we do with our water, we enliven it through the right minerals. We have special bioceramics we use.
So is the process, you add minerals?
To the water. We specially treat our water.
Okay.
With special materials that are designed specifically for water and approved for water use.
Okay.
And that allows us to cold extract all of our herbs. And
And you do cold extraction.
Cold extraction.
What so many people don't know is you get such better flavor.
You get true flavor.
True flavor with cold extraction.
No heat.
Yes.
So to give you an example of that, if we may.
Yes, let's taste.
This is our jasmine. Mm-hmm. Everyone has had jasmine tea. And we actually gave some to a local tea store, their buyer, and he drank it, and he didn't know what it was at first, because he'd never had jasmine tea non-heated.
One of the biggest disappointments is heated jasmine tea, because its taste or its effect on the palate eclipses its beautiful perfume.
That's
and
for sure.
This doesn't. This is as pretty on the palate as it is when you just breathe in the bouquet of it. This is lovely.
I think you've hit it exact. Go ahead.
Did you see that thumbs up we just got from Lucas?
It's very tasty.
Could you say something more? What is it that you like about it?
The taste.
The taste. Because you like root beer a lot. This is pretty delicate. So you like that delicate?
Yeah.
The delicacy. Cool. Yeah, this is lovely. And you can taste what you taste in jasmine tea.
Yeah.
But it's so much, It's so much more integrated and subdued, and it's really lovely.
Well, you've really hit it on the head right there, and that's what we were going for from day one at the Kefiri, was to these the herbs that we use, that the, when you take those herbs and bring them together and smell them, that's really what we're trying to do. When you taste it, and you want to taste that, because so many beverages that you've tasted, you smell the herbs, and they're incredible. By the time it gets to the beverage, it's gone. You've heated it up. You've burned it off. You've done all these things to it. We're trying to keep the pure flavors of the herbs and the herb mixes. Mm-hmm. And thanks for telling, because that's really what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, well,
not trying to. We're doing it.
You've done a beautiful job. That's one of the differences I find, not really to go off topic, but, you know, people love chocolate. And there's a lot of chocolates that are flavored. And I find the ones that are flavored with heated extractions really harsh.
Yeah.
And rather unpleasant. The ones that are infused with a cold extraction are so much prettier and engaging. So that's really, really good.
So what you're tasting is an enlivened beverage.
Okay.
And it doesn't stop at the tongue and the taste buds. Because of all the culture, it continues to be enlivened throughout the cycle of being swallowed. And
right, because there's the enlivening effect of the herbs and the things
so
that are in there
you.
To give you this enlivened
we
effect.
We think so.
But then there's also the life itself that's going in there. And that's the probiotics that exist in the kefir.
Talk to me about, does lactic acid play a role?
There's lactic acid bacteria.
Because I can taste
absolutely.
It. I can taste it. Mm-hmm. On the finish, you get that taste of lactic acid. Mm-hmm. But again, it's very subtle. But you if you pay attention, you can recognize it.
There might be up to 30 different microorganism species inside of each kefir crystal. Uh-huh. So you really have a large, it's not just a single yeast or a single bacterial culture like wine or beer. This is a wide array of different ones interacting on it. Mm-hmm. So they can do really subtle things like they're talking about, making a little bit of tartaric acid, a little bit of buttery flavor, it does a lot of things that are in wine, so wine and beer. Uh-huh. A lot of people get this, like, it tastes like wine, but it's got the beer hints. So it's a very similar crossover process.
Yeah.
Because and that, go ahead.
No, just saying that lactic acid on the finish is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's refreshing, and its texture is very much the texture of a pure liquid, you know, water, soda pop. It doesn't have that chewy texture, or I don't know if chewy is quite the right word, that thick, that palate coating thickness.
Absolutely.
That you get with anything with dairy.
High fructose and dairy.
yeah, that as well. Let's talk about the sweetness. There's a bit of sweetness here.
Yeah.
What's that from?
That's, the fermentations all start with a small amount of dehydrated cane juice or sugars.
Okay, cane juice, okay.
Yeah, and that actually then during the fermentation process, the microorganisms use the sugar as a driver, and it gets them going. And so they consume the sugars up, and they actually convert the sucrose or fructose, depending on what's in there, into dextrose.
Oh, okay.
And so that conversion to dextrose and others we call polysaccharides.
Mm-hmm.
So you get it broken all the way down into monosugars. So we had some tests that just came back where there was no sugar left in one of our beverages, only mixed polysaccharides, which have a sweetness on the tongue, but not the effect of raw sugar in the body. And that's what most of our clients are really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
They're all, I get that sweet flavor, but it doesn't give me the blood sugar spike and negative things that sodas can do for you.
Mm-hmm. Do you do any that have no sweetness, no perception of sweetness on the palate?
Even ones that we ferment to complete to the, there's nothing left in them at all, still have a sweetness on the tongue.
Okay. I was just curious if there was anything like a cucumber, a black pepper, you know, just any of those things on the savory side.
We've done some savory ones. We do a fabulous seasonal, what we call a fire cider.
Fire cider.
And
turmeric,
ginger.
Garlic.
Garlic, horseradish. And a variety of other support herbs and flavors to give a complete savory effect. And as people love it.
Yeah, it sounds
really
good.
And not only are they drinking
it
for what those different things do for you, but they also put it in the salad dressings and, and cook with it. And
yeah, it sounds really,
so,
really
good. We do savory as well.
Actually got nicknamed the flu chaser by one of our customers because they come in when they're
I'll take a case.
Yeah, this winter people were like,
oh,
yeah.
So
that's very interesting. Why don't we take a little musical break, and we're going to come back, and he's ready to open
more
the next one.
It's going to be root beer time.
is a blast to part two. Tiki tiki lie, tiki tiki lo.
You're listening to Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. My guests this evening, Jeff Edelheit and Tom Boyd of the Keefery. The Keefery is located in a little shopping center where the bowling alley used to be in Sebastopol. And it's now right near a tattoo parlor and the Sebastopol Ballet School. And, the name of the little tiny restaurant?
Hole in the Wall.
Woodruff's, yeah. So, yeah, Hole in the Wall and Woodruff's, and then some national chains that I never bothered to mention. But yeah, it's right up there, and you're open Tuesday through Saturday.
From 11 to 5, we're usually there till 6 or 7. Uh-huh. If we're there cleaning, we leave the door open. Mm-hmm. Customers come and... Mm-hmm.
Now, is everything made there?
Yes.
Is also,
100%.
All the fermentation takes place there.
Yes, absolutely. It's a it's basically a microbrewery with a tasting room.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, a brewery and a winery. Uh-huh. A keefery.
Okay.
There's the name.
There you go.
Yeah.
And do you sell only there, or do you have some distribution?
No, we don't have distribution. We have some customers we sell to. We have the Shed is one of our newer ones in Healdsburg. I don't know if you've been there yet or not.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We're in the fermentation bar, the backyard restaurant.
Yes.
And Arlene Francis Center.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Sells our hibiscus and lemon ginger.
My favorites.
Oh, and they mix it, and they do some pretty creative things. And it's amazing with people we get in that have been there.
Uh-huh.
In the Arlene Francis Center, and I had their hibiscus and lemon, and oh my God, I fell in love with it.
It's really good. Well, I had a really interesting experience, as you know, with your chocolate.
That was a surprise, by the way.
It was a surprise to everyone. I'll talk about what I did. Did you bring the chocolate to taste?
No.
Okay. Well, but we'll still talk about that a little later because you're getting ready to open something really good.
So we're going to tell you a story.
Okay.
We had a customer come in the store with his family, Jesse, and he owns tea companies called Sandovar, and they're cafes in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought all of his teas in, a good sampling of it, and Tom brewed up a gallon of each, and we tested with our customers. And there's one that really stuck out. It was called Oceans of Wisdom. And as it turned out, I'm not sure the whole story. There's some kind of contest or something. The Dalai Lama was coming to the United States. He apparently does not drink black tea chai.
Mm-hmm.
So they saw who can make the best formula, and Sandovar's won.
So is it a green tea base?
It's a non-black tea chai.
Oh, okay.
Based on the rooibos herb.
Oh, rooibos?
Rooibos, yeah.
And is that what we're drinking now?
That's what we're drinking now. And so there's a beautiful story behind it. And our customers shape our destiny. And this is a good example of it. And again, you're going to be able to tell the difference with cold extraction. Lucas, you ready for more? Okay.
And what is this one called?
Is this Oceans of Wisdom, okay. Our chai.
Yeah. Caffeine-free chai.
You want yours?
I'm good.
As everyone's gulping.
Again, it's lovely. It's delicate.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely taste... I make my own chai at home. You know, this whole thing of commercial chai drives me nuts. Been making my own chai since I came back from India, where they give you chai every afternoon at 4 o'clock. You definitely taste all of the sweet spices that typically go into chai masala.
Again, lactose-free, non-dairy, non-black tea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good enough for the Dalai Lama.
It's really What do you think, Lucas?
It tastes... tastes very homemade, and you can really taste the spices, as you said.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's two for two.
Two for two. You're doing good. He's got a good palate.
And part of the magic we do is Tom is our brewmaster, and our friend Jamie, they really understand extraction. Because to do this takes a lot of science and a lot of patience.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you, can you explain that? What does it mean to understand extraction? Is it just like time on?
Oh, wow.
time in contact with the water?
Let's put it this way. There's extraction and there's what we do.
Okay.
So years of building extraction, doing extraction for people and extraction projects. We learned how to extract things from herbs. What are the different things that are extractable? What do you want to extract? What do you not want to extract? Mm-hmm. And we worked very hard on ways to extract the things that we want from herbs without using harmful solvents.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all of our process is how that we can get things out of herbs without using things that are going to harm people in the getting things out of herbs. So we developed a method of using water and being able to change the elements of water and to change water's structure and ionization capacity, and changing the electricity, the electric component of the water, allows us to make water into like an electromagnet and just draws things out of the herbs. You can watch it happen. You can put an herb in this special water that we create, and you can actually see the color being pulled out just like it was filings on a magnet.
Wow, that is really, I would love to see that.
Well, yeah,
and you could get some, you should photograph that.
We will.
I mean, that just sounds like it's potentially gorgeous.
It is. It's really excellent, especially when you see the colors that come out in the beverages and the way it can just absorb and draw the things out that we want.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of our. That's probably the foundation of the beverages is being able to get things out of the herbs that we want.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the first one I tried, the only one I've worked with, the chocolate, which was to taste chocolate. To taste all the flavors of chocolate with none of the texture of chocolate was just really interesting. Really, really interesting. And it inspired me to create a chocolate vinaigrette.
Mm.
But in reading, as I did that, it was really good. I've got to recreate it on it because I made a half gallon.
Right.
And what I have to do is create it on a smaller level.
Right.
But in reading the label, there are things like three or four kinds of mushrooms,
six.
I think. Six kinds of mushrooms. Yeah. Tell me, now is that only in the chocolate
others? We make a coffee and a chocolate and a mocha. So the coffee and the chocolate both have the six immune mushrooms in them, or medicinal mushrooms.
And
then when we combine them together, it becomes a 2X mushroom with the mocha.
And why? What's the reason to combine the mushrooms? Is it health reasons?
Well,
And flavor.
Well, it's all about the coffee and chocolate. They're fabulous stimulants, but they've also got a bad rap for burning people out and, adrenal fatigue and all those things that come along with the overuse of stimulants.
Uh-huh.
Working with our partners, mushrooms are one of the most fantastic things to add. But mushrooms are funky tasting. So having something like chocolate and coffee that could really not only absorb the flavors but actually synergize them. With giving you the effect. So basically with the coffee and the mushrooms and the way that we cold extract it and the way we cold ferment it, we're kind of, this is what we kind of say to people. It's like, well, everything that you think is wrong with coffee, we just fixed it.
Oh, okay.
You know,
so you're
acid forming, fix it.
Yeah.
Burning the caffeine so you get the jitters.
Right.
We don't burn the caffeine.
So
is
it burning the caffeine that gives you the jitters?
It's one of the things.
That's one of the things, okay.
Too much caffeine, and then also when you heat it and oxidize the caffeine, it oxidizes into other chemicals, which aren't so good for your nervous system, shakes and jitters. So when you pull pure caffeine out and take it, it's pretty fantastic for you.
And also they say that when you drink a cup of coffee, it takes 3 cups of water to clear it out.
Right. The acidity.
That they don't tell you about.
Yeah, I don't drink much coffee. You know, if I need to go to Hawaii and I can't, I'll try to find Kona coffee that someone will fix for me iced. I drink iced Kona coffee.
Yeah, that's
and that's
perfect.
About all the coffee because the acid is just...
Yeah.
It's. I find it harsh. Yeah. I love the smell. If only coffee would taste like it smells.
Well, that's what our coffee does. And that's what we've been talking about, is how to pull that smell out and keep it. Well, here's some coffee right here.
I guess the coffee gets open.
But the big thing you were talking about, the chocolate. Now,
okay.
The chocolate is really our ode to the original the Mexican mushroom chocolates that were consumed by the Aztecs and the Mayans and all the people of Central and South America.
Wow.
So only the English people and the Westerners eat their chocolate and turned it into a bar. Everybody else drinks their chocolate. And everyone knew through all times that chocolate was the number one carrier of all medicaments. Anytime that they would make chocolate, you'd put all the things that you want to get healthy with, and the chocolate would help get them into your body. So it was a carrier, just like a spoonful of sugar for the English.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And again, it was not in milk. It was
right,
in water.
Exactly.
Not milk.
Yeah, it was in water.
So I opened the bottle and let Michelle sniff, like opening the cork of the coffee. What do you think?
It smells like coffee.
It smells like coffee. And people ask us, is there coffee in there?
Yeah, that's real organic coffee, people. Yeah.
We'll give you just a little bit. Lucas, I don't know about you on coffee.
I've had plenty, Jeff.
Again, this is really interesting, just like the chocolate was, because you get all of that flavor, but none of that thick texture on the palate.
Right.
It's really good.
You want to try something? Really try it with coconut cream. Oh, my gosh.
You pop a little coconut cream on top of that, and it goes to the next level.
So a little inside information. We named this the OMG for now coffee chocolate mocha. And we did that because most of the customers, that was their response. Like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. And we're like, okay, OMG. We listen to our customers a lot. But one of the three of us always wait on every customer. So we get direct input always. It's very important, our stakeholders.
Mm-hmm. That's a big important thing for us, is to have direct contact with everybody and feedback. Mm-hmm. And our customers are fantastic. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm. So they don't have plans to get huge.
Everyone else has plans for us to get huge.
Well, you don't.
Well, no, we have
plans. We have plans to hold our integrity.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And we're looking at, we've just doubled our production because of demand. Probably 60% of our customers are repeat or friends of friends. And many people come in and said, oh, so-and-so told me about it, or I had it at their house and I had to come in and see you guys. And we love the newbies. Newbies come in and they said, what is this? And they're really dubious, like, what is that? And then when they start trying it, they're like, wow, that's not bad. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they end up buying more than they ever expected. Mm-hmm. And we just get great feedback.
Mm-hmm.
We have some clients. One young lady has some pretty severe health issues. And we cannot make any health claims. But ours is the only drink that takes the pain away from her digestive system.
Really?
And she told the health clinic, and she said, I don't know what I would have done if it wasn't for you guys being here. So there's a lot of virtues and side benefits we're learning from our customers that really give us a sense of, like, we're actually serving, we're actually doing some good. And that's part of our mission, is to do good in whatever, in the way we produce, in the way that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. And we're honored by the state and the county for being green certified.
Cool.
The inspector came in, and he was the first time he had no suggestions, but wrote down a lot of what we were doing that he never even knew.
Really? What kinds of things?
Well, I actually...
What kind of things surprised him?
Well, I actually went overboard and even got recycled toilet paper.
That's not overboard.
But it worked. No, the way that we reuse our culture, the way we have our bottle return program, the way that we take all of the waste that's in the production, and it goes on gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So we just do minimal waste across the board. We recycle everything that we can. And the way that we do we use local water, and it doesn't get wasted.
Local water, do you mean Sebastopol
water,
city water?
Which is good water. We put it through our special process and filters. So everything we do is about protecting the environment, and the enlivening process helps become bioavailable for human consumption. Mm-hmm. So we actually, there's an interaction between our drink and our clients.
And does your waste from the process, is that enlivened so that people are using enlivened compost on their
yes,
garden?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's awesome.
It's actually at my garden right now.
Okay.
And, but we're doing a special program where we're building a big compost pile, and I'm turning it over, and I've just started growing plants in it. So all the plants that we – all the wonderful plants for that we're going to use. And so part of that's going to be herbs available, and sometime in the future we're going to make compost for people and let our clients
right,
you know, bring it home and stuff.
Oh, that's
it's real exciting. I'm just doing the first bit of that this year.
Yet another reason to feel optimistic about what's happening here in Sonoma County. We're going to take another musical break, and we'll be right back. Yeah, we're playing Cajun music tonight. Hot weather music. Yes. Seemed like it was almost a little bit humid. It's just slightly humid yesterday and today, not bakingly dry. If it's got to be really hot, I'd rather have some humidity.
Yeah, it's that summer feeling.
Yeah,
loving it.
Yeah, and plus, you know, if it's totally bone dry, you feel like a piece of toast. And if it's humid, you feel like flour. I mean, I'd rather feel like a flour than toast.
Nice. Exactly.
No, don't you think?
Well said.
Or a mushroom. Yeah. So how long did it take you when you came up with this idea? What was the birthing process from the time you started, you got interested and you wanted to start doing this to the kefir?
Well, the birthing process started actually with Tom's wife, Deanna.
Okay.
So you want to share about her?
Oh, I was gonna go ahead and go back to conception for a moment. 9 months previous to that,
we were
Jeff and I in Deanna were doing the restorative technologies, and we had an R&D center where
What does that mean, restorative technologies?
Technologies that restore quality to things, whether it's quality to water, quality to soil, quality to growing of plants, quality, bringing the quality elements back to the producing of fine quality foods.
Oh, okay.
And so we were doing research on technologies from around the world that would do that, and we were doing a lot of stuff with fermentation, and fermentation in the wine industry, fermentation for waste to profit, waking down their wastes and things like that. So we were doing a lot of, and Jeff was doing a lot of stuff with compost teas, and so that naturally went right into my wife, Deanna, working. She works with a lot of people with, she's an Ayurvedic practitioner.
Oh,
she
okay.
works with a lot of people who have really serious conditions. And so we started making the kefirs originally for clients.
Oh, okay.
To help them through things that they were going through during their course with Deanna. And so a lot of our, the strength of our beverages and the way that we approach them were just towards really focusing on people with issues that needed to be solved and making the strongest, most potent beverages that we could make for them.
So was she dealing with some really serious diseases?
Yeah, all the ones that are in your head right now. Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of a friend who has stage 4 esophageal cancer.
Right.
And I had already been thinking, because he loves chocolate, been thinking that I was going to take him some of the chocolate kefir.
Yeah. And as we started researching about the combination of herbs and probiotics and ways to deliver those to people, the beverages took form. And we started producing a variety of different beverages for a particular... to produce particular effects for people,
cool.
and to nourish them. Mostly, it's about nourishment. Deep nourishment.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of it. And then one day, Deanna said, "There's a fermentation festival coming up. Why don't we participate?" So the three of us set up a table and did it. We rented a kitchen in Sebastopol, and we had the busiest booth. I mean, hundreds of people were trying our kefir, and everyone said the same thing. Where did you get it? What's the recipe? How can I make it? And when are you going to open it? And where can I buy it?
Huh.
We did that for 4 years. Yeah. And Jennifer Harris, we have to give so much credit to. She is amazing. She helped with the fermentation festival.
Yeah, she came on to Mouthful and talked about it.
She's one of our angels. And so after 4 years, we all had a meeting. We thought, I think we better focus on this. And, you know, Spirit has a very strange way of working.
Yeah.
And we were by the hole in the wall having breakfast. And next door was a for rent sign. And I said, "Tom and Deanna, I think we may have our location." Called Ron Basso, owns the building, and we knew him through the Deanna Center, and said, "Ron, this is who we are, this is what we're doing. What do you want?" He said, "This is what I'll do for you." And we said yes.
Cool. And that was
One year, 2 months ago.
Okay, yeah. So you got open pretty quickly once
it took
you found
us
the space.
3 months to get all of our permits.
We were already operating out of a contract kitchen at that point.
Okay.
And took us about 2 to 3 months to get everything, because, you know, we're all legal and licensed. And it was great. And we shopped for all of our coolers. I mean, everything. One came, yogurt shops. We got our stainless table came out of a Chinese restaurant. Every piece of equipment has a story to it.
Cool.
We shopped hard. And then we were able to keep it affordable. We keep our, you know, because it's a startup.
Sure.
And we were really lucky. Customers, we had loyalty almost from the beginning.
Yeah. Because we came off from the top making the best beverage we can, and we'll never stop making the best beverage. And that's kind of, I'm sure you hear that a lot, but it's real important for us to make sure that's true.
So one of the things that we learned is Tom would make a mistake, right? Like, I made a mistake, and it's like, you know, this is really good. And the customer said, "That is really good. When can I get more?" So we kind of hoped to keep making mistakes.
So you pay attention.
A couple of our beverages came out of mistakes. Well, we don't believe in mistakes anymore after this process.
After that.
It's
everything is just a creative.
Yeah, serendipity.
Didn't happen like I thought it would, but wow, look at that. Yeah. Just taste that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fun joke for us.
Yeah.
I should tell you what I did with the chocolate vinaigrette.
Please do.
And that was a surprise.
It was a surprise. It wasn't so much a mistake as it was a purely intuitive. I just tasted it and I thought, I know that this can turn into a vinaigrette, and I have no idea how I'm going to do it. So I just sat with two other chefs, Evelyn Cheatham of Worth Our Weight, and then Colleen McGlynn, who she doesn't work as a chef anymore. She's DeVero. But she was a chef, longtime chef, and two women I adore and whose palates and cooking skills are just so solid. So I just said, let's taste this. Let's just sit down and taste this. You donated the half gallon of it for this event. It was a benefit for Worth Our Weight. And we tasted it. And my take on it was it needs a mellow white wine vinegar. It needs orange zest. And it needs high quality white peppercorns.
Wow, nice.
And so I took, do you know Vivo vinegar? They're local.
Mm-hmm.
I did, I had a full bottle, and I think it was a pint, of Sauvignon Blanc vinegar.
Okay.
Into the half gallon. The zest, the finely grated zest of 6 oranges.
Ooh.
And then
lots of orange.
Many, many very generous turns of the best white peppercorns in the world, which come from Sarawak, the state of Sarawak in Malaysia. I brought them back with me. And,
nice.
You know, they have that fermented, you know, basically white peppercorns are fermented.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're fermented in, and where I got them from, there was this process where instead of being fermented in a boggy swamp or pond, they're fermented in these tanks that have spring water that has no pollution and no chemicals, no runoff. And that water circulates 24 hours a day for 7 to 10 days. And what that does is it rots off the outer mantle that would normally turn black. And then it's taken out and washed, and the rest of the greenery that has rotted off is taken out, and then they're dried. And they have that flavor fermentation. And so it just went. Those things, we barely tweaked it. Once I put those initial things in, I think I added enough salt just to bring those flavors together. And then I served it with, I roasted strawberry, real good strawberries, you know, from Highway 12.
My mouth's watering.
I sliced and roasted strawberries in their own juices with quite a bit of black peppercorns. Okay. Put that in a wine glass with some creme fraiche down in the bottom. And then topped it. This is, all makes me sound totally insane. Topped it with a very generous scoop of balsamic vinegar and black pepper gelato.
Wow, it sounds insanely good.
And then served the chocolate vinaigrette on the side, so for people to pour. They could either have it as a shot, or they could pour it in.
Wow.
And I thought it was, you know, unusual and really good.
So what did people say? I mean,
people loved it.
Yeah.
People really loved it.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to know because I was getting everything ready.
Yeah.
But it was 60 people. They were really happy. None of the desserts came back. Everybody ate them, and you know, some people stirred it so it was almost like a milkshake. Some people drank it, the chocolate vinaigrette, and some people just drizzled it over and then ate it with a spoon, which is how I would do it.
When you told me about it, I didn't know how to just re-describe it. So I just said, I don't know, she did some reduction
sauce like,
on
she did
it.
Some
like,
kind of chocolate
no,
thing.
No, I didn't even do a reduction. There was no heat applied.
Wow.
I just, we did it, I mixed it together about 6 hours before we served it.
So it was enlivened?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then just chilled it so that things would just, you know, the orange oil.
Yeah.
And it was just all in, I thought it was just beautiful. And I'm going to recreate it and write about it sometime soon.
Beautiful.
Please do, because we love to hear things like that. We have so many wonderful creative people who come in and get our products and use them. For their own cooking and cooking for others.
Well, I really want to try the one, I forget what you call it, that starts out, but it starts out with turmeric.
Oh, that's the fire cider
is amazing.
Yeah, I really want to try that.
It's a classic fire cider like that you would make with apple cider vinegar, but we kefir it.
We have people literally coming in throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had a minute, I wanted to tell you some of our inside secrets.
We definitely do, and we've got one more to taste, right?
Yes.
We're saving the root beer for last.
The root beer for last. Yes. So we have to, unfortunately, our secret is sound asleep at the moment, and that's Tom and Deanna's daughter, Lilia.
Our secret instrument of success.
Yeah, so Lilia is addicted to, in a good way, to our kefir. When she comes in the store, she's the first one to get served. And what we did is we learned that she slurps based on her ability to like something. This is a true story. So we would let her sample the beverages and count the slurps.
When we were working on them.
And I think, I remember it was Oceans of Wisdom or Rupert. One of them had 13 slurps.
She's sitting in it. She was just... And that's how we know.
That's how we know. We're like, okay, this is going to be a winner, and it works. So I just thought I'd let you know our Your secret weapon is now a, soon to be a 3-year-old little girl.
Well, Lily is my wife, Deanna. She drank the kefirs the entire way through her pregnancy, uh-huh. and then every day she drinks a kefir as well. Uh-huh. So it's
you know, one thing I haven't talked about. What does it cost? What's the bottle cost?
Standard bottles are 4, half gallons are 15, mm-hmm. With a $2 bottle deposit. We also have bottle return programs for people. They bring their bottles back.
Yes, I was there when people were bringing bottles in.
Get their stamps and get a free bottle once every 10 they bring back. Uh-huh. So we have a really nice bottle return program. Mm-hmm. We have one other one that's in a quart that's a $10, and that's the Flower Power.
Uh-huh. And if you get the half gallon, mm-hmm. how long will that stay enlivened, stay fresh?
Well, we've designed them for having about a month's worth of food for the probiotics.
A month.
But what we say to our clients is that when we bottle these in their peak of ripeness.
Uh-huh.
And so just like the really ripe fruit that you buy from the store, you might not let it sit there and mold before you eat it.
Oh, that happened to me last week. I bought eight apricots, and by the next day, 5 of them were dead.
Exactly. So we really say just for consuming them in their fullness.
Uh-huh. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, 2 weeks.
Within 2 week period.
I'm just thinking, okay, like I was thinking even, will they last 4 or 5 days if you buy a half gallon?
Most of the time they don't
last
4 or 5 days with the customers.
Uh-huh. We had a customer yesterday came in. He said, I get up at 3 in the morning and I crave your beverage.
Every night.
And his wife laughs because it's better than vodka. So he said, I just crave your beverage.
And get up, drink it, and I can go back to bed again.
Well, that's like, so funny.
Okay. So, and we have tastings where people taste everything and try it, and that gives them an idea.
No, you have tasting just regularly.
Well, that's an important piece. Yeah, you come down to the kefir, and we've got a full tasting bar. You can sit and try all the different beverages and ask questions. It's really fun. Yeah.
And now we only have a few minutes left, so we really have to try the root beer.
Time for the root beer.
And so the
Lucas, we got to get you turned around because we're going to try the root beer,
Lucas,
and I definitely
bring
your opinion.
And for everybody listening, just to know that this root beer, we're going to be doing root beer socials, root beer floats, and things of that nature real soon. So,
how about root beer shave
with
ice?
Coconut.
All of the above.
Root beer shave ices. Yeah. That's a reason to fly to Hawaii.
Oh, and the other incredibly awesome thing that just happened was we just found a way to turn these into pops.
Smell it before you. Yes. Oh, you did. You're gonna have
all these made into pops, frozen.
We use Lilia's popsicle maker to experiment with.
Yeah,
cool. This is so nice.
So this is a triple root beer. And so what we've done is we took the three traditions of root beer, the sarsaparilla tradition from Mexico and India, the sassafras tradition from America, and the birch tradition from the Northeast in Europe.
Uh-huh.
And those are the three different beverages that are considered root beer.
No, I didn't know about the birch.
So the birch, the sassafras, and the sarsaparilla, we fuse those formulas together in this one. So you get the three core flavors of the root beer.
What do you think of it, Lucas?
I really like it. It definitely tastes like root beer, but it also doesn't taste artificial like most root beer.
Good from a 12-year-old boy. That's awesome.
I know.
Nice. Very good. Thank you. And we did hear it works great with coconut bliss ice cream.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So we're really proud of it. And also we sell a whole variety of water things from our.
Yeah, I've noticed they're sitting there, but I haven't really explored them.
So basically our technology partner is called Biosera in South Korea. And they make these approved materials, NSF FDA approved materials that help bring the minerals back into the water for water to be enlivened and the proper balance for hydration.
Does this help for Sebastopol well water? I'm on well water.
Well, a lot of
nothing helps Sebastopol well water.
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to say that.
But what we learned, and this is a hard one, but a lot of the bottled waters we tested were pH acidic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Almost every one of them. And according to science we read, the body needs alkalinity and pH.
Yeah, the charged minerals and the pH, they're real important for people.
What would this? So these are minerals that you put into your water.
You basically put it in your personal water bottle and leave it for a month of continued use, and the reports we get back are through the roof.
Yeah, so you use it continuously for a month.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You just keep filling it and drinking it,
I'll use it when I go to my hula classes.
Yeah.
So if you make water bottle.
If you make soups and foods, you'll never taste anything better than if you use
your
that
water. Your extractions will happen.
So a lot of the key, the whole water piece, we could do a whole show on that. But
will you come back and do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's so much to say. I'm like, I want to say it all.
But one thing we'll let you know.
And water's huge. I mean, water is going to be an increasingly important issue.
We spent so many years on water, and this is what came from that work with water, was making something that was watery but gave you all these wonderful benefits.
And you're not going to believe this, but we're out of time.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, we're
you got your root beer.
I got my root beer. But let's give people contact information. Do you have a, you don't have a website up yet, do you?
We will soon.
Okay.
We're working on Facebook at the moment for The Keefery.
The Keefery is the best way. That's when we announce what we're brewing, what's going on. So it's The Keefery, K-E-F-I-R-Y. Uh-huh. And as we, it's been an interesting year. All the things we hope to do in the first 3 months, we're still working on because we've been working on taking care of our customers and building a good reputation. We're trying to name the whole plaza we're in is the Keefery Plaza.
That'd be cool.
That's what we're saying. Everybody, it's not the Keefery Plaza instead of, you know, the other major.
Instead of next to Starbucks.
Yeah.
I know. Well, you notice I didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
I said it.
Where are you? We're in Keefery Plaza, so.
That's great. Yeah. Michelle, I hope that works.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, and so let's tell people again, 11 to 5, Tuesday through Saturday.
Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 5.
Often at Farmers Festival Farmers Market.
On Sunday.
On Sundays, yep. Tasting bars are open all week long. You can come taste all the beverages and sit down and talk.
Okay.
Explore probiotics.
And chocolate goes quick.
Yeah, come early.
Thank you so much for taking time out on a Sunday. I know how valuable days off are, so I really appreciate it. Yeah. And you can meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour here on KRCB-FM. Have a great week. And Lucas, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yay. Lucas.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Let's go.